ask him, how you doing today? You know what he would say to me? I'm above ground taking nourishment. And you know what I mean? And today you're above ground, you're taking nourishment, and you're in the house of the Lord today. You got a chance to feel the love of God's people. I hope you'll feel that today. You got a chance to get some help from the Lord. You got a chance with the world telling all sorts of lies to take a look at what is really true and to have your heart guided. And today's a special day. Today is Youth Sunday at Calvary Baptist Church, and that's so exciting. Do you know what's crazy about some of the characters in the Bible? Most of the heroes that we see in the Bible, we actually learn about them in their youth. Did you ever pay attention to that? We learn about Mighty Samuel when he was just a child. Joseph, David. We see a little bit about Moses. We definitely get a peek into Jesus' childhood. Esther, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's a child. And you know why I think God puts that in our Bible? Because I think he wants us to understand, if you give God your childhood, he can build something really strong on top of it. When God wants to build a superhero, a lot of times he chose somebody who gave their childhood to him. And so we see that. And you guys are giving our kids the opportunity to serve. My prayer is that one day Lily's going to be worshiping in some church and she's going to be helping that place. That Shiloh's going to be helping and worshiping in some church. Aren't you thankful for the people who invested in your life when you were a child? And you're doing that for our kids. You give us a Sunday morning. We're grateful for it. I'm going to let them start it off, but let me pray for us today as we start. God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name that you're our friend. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, God. We thank you for the chance to share from your word. We thank you for the young people that you've blessed us with, God. You've given us young people with great talent and great abilities, and they're shiny, God. They're learning to walk with you, Father, and I pray that they would be a help today. I pray in Jesus' name this childlike prayer. I pray, God, that as the adults leave this congregation today, this whole week, I pray the songs of our children will be echoing in their heart. And I pray that the truths of your word would anchor us to what's real and what's good. We ask these things in Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. The truth of your word.
3:16. Something changed in me. Red letters going off the page, flooding my heart with amazing grace. I move in, I believe, and those roots run deep. Oh, I've been through some faith shaking hard times, yeah. But nothing's gonna make me forget. Every one of those Sunday sermons, every time that choir would sing, I can hear my Savior calling, telling me how much He loves me. No matter what the world throws at me, I know His word is true. It all started with a heart stirring spirit moving sunny. Devil gonna try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gonna try and take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Gonna have my worries, well that's part of life. But then I think of those stories about what my God can do. He's still moving like He did back then. Born again people, can I get an amen? We've all seen the proof. He makes all things new. Even all those face shaking hard times, yeah. I never wanna stop remembering.
Good.
children, then you hear your children. Now you are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a savior then. You are a savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You freed the captives then. You're freeing captives now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock.
Day to be in God's house. And even when it's an awesome day and you have so many blessings, there's still a lot of hurting people in this world. And so, you know, right now I would just like to just pray, if you don't mind, before we sing Blessed Assurance. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all your many blessings and for how we can so often just fall on your throne at your feet and beg you for help when we need it. Father, I thank you that though we may leave you, you never leave us. And Father, right now there's so many hurts, Lord, in my own personal life with family that's hurting so badly. Father, and I feel for those that fall on this altar, Lord, and just call out to you. Father, whatever happens in this service today, Lord, I pray that you will receive all honor, all glory. It's not our voices that, it's the voice that you gave us that we were able to lift up and sing praises to you. Father, I pray that you would be with the remainder of the service with Brian. Father, that you would give him only the words that you want him to say. Father, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being the one who rescued us when we don't even deserve it, but you love us anyway. Thank you, God, for who you are. In your name I pray, amen. If you would join with us this morning, if you'd stand, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Are you all so thankful for that Blessed Assurance this morning? So just stand and sing with us.
Blessed Assurance.
Could the ushers please come down? The church would like to thank everyone who came yesterday to help with the support for the church yard sale. It was a great day, and all the money was raised to paint the upstairs hallway. Please remember our service tonight. Brother CJ will be preaching and will continue to have special singing from our youth. Please remember the trunk or treat next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Sign up to decorate your trunk. Candy donations would be most appreciated. Please bring individually wrapped candies and treats. Please take a bulletin to stay on top of our church announcements and prayer requests. Mr. Mike, could you please pray for us?
Thank you.
Why do we make such a big deal about Jesus? What is the big deal about Jesus? Do you know everywhere Jesus is allowed to work, there is hope and there is help and there is light? And every family that clings to Jesus and looks to Jesus has a reservoir of strength that the world knows nothing about. A real, literal strength to help them through the things of life. The best day of my life is the day that I met Jesus Christ. And all of the good that has ever come from my life springs from that singular moment where I met Jesus Christ. He's literally every bit as good as they sang. Remember what I said? I hope this week those songs are echoing in your heart. I pray that they are. You know what? If they are, it's going to be good for you. Those first couple songs were fast, but did you hear that line in it? Devil going to try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Do you know when I saw that? I can't believe I got it right. Anyway, when I saw that on there, you know whose picture flashed through my mind? I thought of Barbara Anderson. devil going to try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. You know what's crazy? We take the young people from time to time to sing over there. She doesn't remember all of us when we visit. I don't know if you know that. Her mind has slipped, but you know what she remembers? She remembers those worship songs. She remembers the Lord who saved her and where she can get help in her state. I remember Mark Lowry was videoing his mother when she was in the last stages of Alzheimer's, literally just a few days before she died, and they began to sing a song that his mother wrote. It was one of those worship songs, and it was just beautiful worship of the Lord Jesus. And when he got done, he said, "Mama, do you remember who wrote that song?" And she said, "No, who wrote it?" He said, "Mama, you wrote it." She said, "I wrote it." Let me tell you something. She couldn't remember that she wrote it, but she remembered the word that God had given her. She remembered the song that God had put her in her heart. There is a place you can turn to for help and for strength. And today at the Lord's direction, isn't it spectacular that we can have the Lord's direction in our life? But at the Lord's direction, I want to talk to you about something Jesus said. And I'm going to talk briefly about that, but then I'm going to talk more at length about something Jesus did. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to your Bibles to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. And when you find it, don't say got it, but put your marker there, right? Put a marker there because we're going to come back to it. That's where Jesus did something. And then go with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. And we're going to start in verse number 24. As you find your place there, you'll notice that we're reading an extremely familiar passage. I have preached in this passage before. I've heard CJ preach a great message recently out of this passage. This is where the Lord directed us. But as you get older, do you realize that from time to time you can forget important details? Ever had that experience in your life as you get older? Yesterday we had an event for the children's home where we're in a gravel parking lot and there's this airfield. The kids got to fly those remote control airplanes. It's awesome. They've learned that over the years. The kids have kind of got accustomed to that. So now they let them shoot them with paintball guns. And you just got to see that, right? Even Aunt Melita gets out there. You know what I mean? It's an epic experience. But as we're getting ready to roll, I had so much going on yesterday. I jumped in the van, started pulling off, and Kriston says, "Uncle B, we're short 3 kids." And I'm the campus director of what? You know what I mean? We can forget important things. And so I want to revisit this passage in Matthew chapter number 7 and just see if we can anchor it again anew to our hearts. The Bible says, and Jesus is speaking, "Therefore," verse 24, "whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Are you thankful for the rock today? "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." I'll pray one more time. Jesus, please involve yourself today. I have no strength of my own, literally no strength, no ability to help these people whatsoever. I lean upon yours. Would you help me today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here that had ADD before ADD was cool, before they added the H, you know, and you could be easily distracted? You're with your Trail. By the way, I saw the little jig you were doing over there when the music started playing, Brother Trail, right? He was happy. But I truly think that sometimes my parents called ADD BAD, you know what I mean? That's how they dealt with it. But in this instance, sometimes we can forget things that are critical, and sometimes we can hear something that is so important, and it goes in one ear and right out the other, and we completely miss it. The other day, I said to one of the little boys in the children's home, he's about 9 years old, and it was an important time. We were on a boat, and it was significant, and I said to him, "Young man, it is very important that you hear what I'm about to say to you." And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, sir." And he started walking off, right? And I was like, I don't know if you catch what I'm putting down, right? You know what I mean? Do you realize that Jesus Christ, I want to remind you, in the first verse that we read, told you the secret to a strong life. If you want a strong life, all you have to do is obey verse number 24 of Matthew. Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a house." The involvement of Jesus, when you do what Jesus said, Jesus starts strengthening your life. Did you catch that? When you do what Jesus said, Jesus starts strengthening your life. When in the world is this world ever going to learn that? Because the more our world disobeys Jesus, the weaker and weaker we get. Think about it. Just the areas of, like, tell the truth. What happens when you obey God and you tell the truth? What's built when you tell the truth? Well, you know what's built? Trust. And can you have a real relationship with anybody you can't trust? Can you have a real relationship with somebody you don't know if they'll tell the truth? No, truth is critical. And if you're in this place today and truth is not your thing, and sometimes when you don't want to tell the truth, you tell something different, turn from that because you're weakening your life. But if you would do what God tells you to do, you would strengthen your life and you would build trust. One of the things we teach the kids in the children's home is there's these two principles. The bar has never been lower for a young person to achieve. There's two things that you can do that will radically distinguish you from your peers. Number one, if you have a good work ethic, right? If you work hard and you have a good work ethic. And number two, if you have good manners. If you have a good work ethic and you have good manners, you will completely distinguish yourself from your peers. The world has never been darker, so any little bit of light just shines, and you can be so shiny. Do you know why those things are true? Because God teaches us to be a hard worker. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The Bible says that when you work for an employer, you're literally supposed to do it as unto the Lord. By the way, that sets you free. That completely sets you free. You know why? Because the Lord is perfect and He is gracious and He is kind, and your boss is not perfect, are they, right? Your boss is anything but perfect, and because we all are. But when, even if you have a cruel or a rash boss, if you're serving under the Lord, you're free, right? It's a true thing, and working hard is good. As far as manners goes, those Bible principles, the Bible says rebuke, not an elder. The Bible says be kind one toward another. Can you be rude and kind at the same time? No, you have to have good manners and so on and so forth. And the Bible says to give honor to those who deserve honor. So think about what I'm about to say to you. What happens in your life when you meet a young person that has those two traits thoroughly ingrained in them? When you meet a young person that is a good, hard worker and has excellent manners, you know what? It's like meeting a leprechaun, isn't it? He's like, wow, I found a gem. And you know what happens? You want to hire them, right? Immediately, you start trying to hire them. You want to introduce them to your child or your grandchild. You know, I'm not kidding you. We have a young person at the children's home that has almost mastered these two traits, and his name is Max, right? And Max has just got a great work ethic. He tries so very hard, and he's got outstanding effort. He's the young person who gave the announcements today. Can I tell you something bizarre? I promise you, before the church, we literally have mothers call the children's home advocating for their daughters. I'm not kidding you. It's creepy as all get out. I'm like, seriously. They're like, we get Max. It's true. And you know what crazy in Max's life? Recently, Max was on the homecoming court of his high school. Isn't that precious? His peers said, hey, this is the kind of guy that we want to elevate. And I always say to Max, Max, my prayer for you is that God will elevate you as high as you stay humble, right? As high as you can stay humble, because that's what God is strengthening Max's life and has done these things because he has obeyed him. And if we would obey God, if we, in the areas of our life that we feel are weak and unraveling, start obeying God. Start doing what God told you to do. And Jesus promised you will not be the first person that Jesus lied to. Jesus promised you hear what I say, you do what I say, I'll strengthen your life. I'll make you like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. What a promise. What a promise. And you look at every family that's got Jesus ways working them, there's a strength the world knows nothing about. It's true. But think about the subsequent thing. When the Bible says that the one who hears what Jesus says and doesn't do it, the verse number 27, I believe, when he says that, he doesn't say God's going to squish him like a rock. He didn't say that the wrath of God is going to fall upon him. He says that that house is just going to unravel, that the storms and the winds of this life are too difficult, and the life that serves ignoring Jesus, the life that ignores Jesus, is a life that's going to come apart on the seams when the storms of life come. And I want you to pay attention to that, because think about what's going on in America. Think about that. Think about just the last few years. In 2015, we passed a law that a man could marry a man. And just think about what's happened since then. Now we're not sure which bathroom to go to. There's more people confused about what gender they are than there has ever been in life. Right now, we have people marching through the streets proclaiming that Israel is at fault for the attack that they suffered. It's crazy, right? We don't see things when we ignore Jesus and we do what we want. Things come unraveled, and so we don't want to do that. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Storms are going to come into your life, and what happens to the contents of your house depends on what you do with what Jesus said. Did you catch that? Storms are going to come into your life. If you look at the two verses where Jesus outlined the storms, literally for the Jesus follower and for the Jesus ignorer, the storms are described exactly the same. And the Bible says in verse number 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Verse 27, the person who ignores Jesus, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. You live on a stormy planet. You live on a stormy planet. You know what? A big part of our youth group is Calvary Children's Home. You don't have to go into our youth room and tell our kids that they live on a stormy planet. They know this is a stormy place. There's challenges and there's struggles and there's events of this life that are very difficult. Do you know that in Georgia, 50 to 55 times a year, it thunderstorms? Now, let's just use that for an illustration for a second. 50 to 55 times a year, almost once a week, there's a storm, according to the Weather Channel, in Georgia that causes a little bit of damage. A thunderstorm is not, you know, going to knock the house over, but there's a storm, and the storm results in a tree. Sometimes the tree's in the car, you know what I mean? Sometimes the pool umbrella is in the neighbor's house, you know, that kind of thing. But you understand, and that's kind of indicative of our lives. Very seldom in our lives is everything just perfect. Would you agree to that? There aren't many days of life where everything and every facet of our life is okay. There's always a little something over there and a little something over here, and there's challenges and there's difficulties and there's storms, but that's not the kind of storm that Jesus is referring to. Did you know that twice on average America gets hit by a hurricane? Twice on average America gets hit by a hurricane, and that's not always in our neck of the woods, is it? But almost always somebody we know, literally in America today, there are regions of America that are recovering from the horrific damage of those torrential winds and those torrential storms. And from what Jesus said, this is you just got to accept this truth and not love it, but accept it because it came out of the mouth of Jesus. From what Jesus said, you can surmise that at least a few times in your life is going to get hit right in the face by one of these type of storms. Your life is going to get hit in the face by a storm where the winds blow and beat upon the house, where the rains fall and the floods rise and beat upon that house. And how it determines whether or not you make it through that storm is based upon what you did with what Jesus said. If you're in a storm, I'd highly suggest that you start listening to Jesus. I'd highly suggest that you find what Jesus said, because that is how it turns out. Can I ask you a question? Can kids cause storms? Kids of your life cause storms. Having kids is like having your heart walk outside of your body. And I can testify to you today, your kids can cause storms in your life because you love them so much. A storm in their life is like a storm in your life. Can your spouse cause a storm? Anybody in here not raising hands for sure, but your spouse made a decision and caused some pain and some heartache and a storm in your life? Can your health cause a storm? Can your health cause a storm? I have three people in my life that in the last few months and weeks, literally they were mowing along just fine, and all of a sudden a hurricane smacked them. One boy getting ready to go off to college fainted in the church parking lot and discovered he had a huge mass. One of them, Pastor Thomas Brown's son, just didn't wake up a few weeks ago and had a mass in his head. Pastor Scott Estes literally had diverticulitis and his intestines busted. And then in surgery, right after surgery, he had a massive heart attack at 55 years old. A huge, huge, colossal storm. Your health can cause storms. Your finances can cause storms, right? Financial blows, just the events of life. Something can happen in your life that I didn't describe already, and that can bring a storm into your life. And we're going to talk about how we can ride those storms out. But let me just say this lastly to you. I want to touch on it by the end. You can cause a storm in your life. You can make decisions, and you can rebel against the Lord, and you can have some things unravel in your life. And do you know what the cure for those storms are? It's the same thing. Go back to what Jesus said. Start doing what Jesus said. Walk in what Jesus said, and you will make it. Go with me, if you will, now to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, because John the Baptist is in a significant storm. You remember his life. He's in one of those storms that he didn't cause. John the Baptist is a straight Bible stud. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, he's filled with the Spirit of God in his mother's womb. He's the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's the one who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He's the one who said, "I must decrease and he must increase." He baptized Jesus, for crying out loud. He is Bible royalty. But in his serving of the Lord and preaching the truth, he offended somebody. And he did a dumb thing, man. You remember what he did? He offended a woman. Yikes! You know what I mean? Yikes! He offended her. And what he did was the king, King Herod, had taken his brother's wife, and all we know that John said was, that is not lawful for you to do. That's not God's way. That's not the way we should proceed. That's not a good idea. Don't take your brother's wife. And his brother's wife got embarrassed by that, and she began to try to persecute John and got him thrown into prison. And now John, who's been serving the Lord, he's in his 30s, we know that. He was born just a few months before Jesus, is in a prison. Can you imagine that those prisons were very nice in his day? Probably not. Probably more like Fulton County's prison. They got something going on over there, don't they? You know what I mean? A rough little part of town, and he's stuck in that prison. But while he is stuck in that prison, Jesus is still on the outside. And John is getting some questions in his heart. His storm is shaking him, but Jesus is not afraid of storms. That's not one of my points today, but you got to catch this. When you're in the storm of your life, Jesus has compassion for you, but he is not shaken by your storm. He is not scared of storms. Think about Jesus. The Bible says the disciples were on the boat. The boat is raining so hard. The boat is full of water. Where's Jesus? He's sleeping on a pillow, you know what I mean? And he rebuked them for waking him up, if you remember, right? He's not afraid of storms. If you think about the time when Peter is walking on the water, the wind's so boisterous and it's whipping, and the Bible says Peter looks at the waves and the wind, and he gets scared, and he starts sinking, and he says, save me. Who did he say save me to? To Jesus, who is purposefully walking on the same storm that he is afraid of. Jesus is not afraid of the storm. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees what's going on in John's life, and he's coming to help him, but he's not afraid of the storm, and so he's still working and still doing his ministry. Start with me in verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city, he being Jesus, called Nain, and you just got to beat back your ADD and feed your soul. Read these verses with me. That he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Jesus was good and popular. He was bringing hope. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man. Didn't see that coming, did you? There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Wouldn't you agree? We just got that one verse, but he's just bumped into another storm. He's on his way to John in his storm, but he's just bumped into another storm because this verse went downhill from the get-go for this lady. First we learn he's dead, then we learn he's her only son, and now we learn she's a widow. All the help and all the hope and all the opportunities that that would have brought in her life are now taken from her, and she's crying hard, and it's tough, but thank God Jesus is not afraid of storm. And Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, verse 13, you ought to underline this, he had compassion on her. Oh, I love that verse. I could preach an hour right there. He had compassion on her. Aren't you glad Jesus had compassion on you? I tell you, I got no clue why Jesus came to me. I was such a wreck. I didn't even want to believe in Jesus. I wanted nothing to do to him, and yet he came to me, and he reached out to me. He let me know I was a sinner, and he saved me. What a difference this compassion-having Jesus makes. And the Bible says, and he had compassion on her. I mean, after all, look at all she lost. She was in trouble. Boy, when you're in trouble, go to Jesus. And he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that's like the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. No way. I mean, come on now. No way. He just interrupted a funeral. Can I tell you something? You can't get dead. You can't stay dead if Jesus don't want you dead, right? He just said to him, arise. We need to remember that Jesus over and over again demonstrated for the people that he is the giver of life after death. He is the giver of life after death. You remember when he was raising Lazarus, he said, he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten who? Son, this Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's the giver of life after death. And he says unto this dead dude, arise. And look what happens. Verse number 15, and he that was dead sat up, whoa, and began to speak. I wonder what he said. I wonder if he was hungry. I don't know why they're always feeding the people he raised from the dead. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know what he said, but he had to be like, well, hello there. You know what I mean? One time we were having CPR class at the children's home. This is true. And I don't know why, but when they were showing all that, you know, yucky stuff they show in CPR, suddenly something just hit me wrong. And all of a sudden, literally, I blacked out right in CPR. The staff thought I was joking. I don't know if any of y'all were there that day, but literally I just slumped over on Melita. And Melita, she said, knock it off, right? Next thing I know, I fall on the floor. A few minutes later, later, I woke up, I'm not kidding you, and in our library, they had this white lighting. I didn't even tell this story. I don't know why I'm doing it. Anyway, there's this white lighting, and when I woke up, literally, Snyder Turner was literally right over my face, and that white light was shining around him, and I literally thought to myself, oh no, God looks like my boss. You know what I mean? Wow, right? Crazy thing, right? I don't know what he said, but he got up. But look at what the Bible says. Verse number 15, don't miss it. And he, Jesus, delivered him to his mother. Miss Darlene talked about the liberal giving God. What a gift he gave back to her, right? I'm the giver of life after death. And he gave him to his mother. Verse 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up amongst us, and that God hath visited his people. You got that right. God had visited his people. There's no time on earth like when Jesus was on the earth. Aren't you thankful for the times that Jesus Christ has visited you and helped you and brought strength into your life? What a precious, precious thing. And rumor 17 of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. What rumor? He's raising people from the dead. He's the giver of life after death, this Jesus Christ. This Jesus is spectacular. And you just got to see it. That was the rumor. Verse 18 says, and the disciples of John showed him all these things. Now remember, where's John? John's in prison, right? And John's disciples said, get a load of this. That guy that you've been making so much of, he's bringing people back from the dead. He's healing the sick and doing all of this work. And if I did not have the rest of this passage, I would assume, knowing everything we have learned about John to this point, that John is going to be ecstatic, right? I served him with my whole life. I gave my whole life to him. And he really is what I thought he was. And he is the Son of God. And he's going to be so glad, because after all, he was trying to decrease while Jesus was trying to increase. And that has happened precisely. But John's storm has shaken him. And if you look at number 19, the Bible says, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? I don't have time to break it down right now, but that's outrageous. That's outrageous. You really him, or do we look for another? Give it up for the followers of John. They didn't water down his question. The next verse, the Bible says that they said to Jesus, and when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? I'll just be honest with you. If I was them, I'd have been tempted to kind of say, John's not feeling that good. And he just kind of said this kind of thing. How will Jesus respond? How will Jesus respond? Will he respond with firmness, right? That's crazy. John, you baptized Jesus and heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You were filled with the Spirit of God. You walked with Jesus. What are you talking about? Have you lost your mind? Maybe he would give him one of those, oh ye of little faith, where is your faith? I don't know. That's what this certainly agreed with. This is one of those, oh no, you didn't moments. Do you know what an oh no, you didn't moment is? Where somebody just says something to you bizarre. The other day we were feeding a group of people lunch at the children's home, and we had a Publix fried chicken. We cooked them Publix fried chicken. Isn't that awesome, right? We were feeding them that and some pizza and some ribs that Costco gives us. And it was awesome. And literally I get a call. And one of the people says to me, hey, I'm gluten-free, you know, and that lunch is just not going to do for me. I need you to pick me up a protein salad with no croutons. Oh, no, you didn't. You know what I mean? That's a little outrageous. You know what I mean? This is crazy. Would he give him soft love? John, I know that you're in hard times. I know you're in this jail and it's scary, but let me just remind you some things. Actually, he didn't answer him at all with his words yet. Look at the next verse. It's crazy. The Bible says, and in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and of evil spirits and of many that were blind. He gave sight. The Bible gives the appearance that literally they asked the question and Jesus just went right back to work. Remember, he's not afraid of storms and people needed him. And so he went right back to work. And then the Bible says, then, verse 22, it's critical. Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. He told John, go back to what the Bible says about me. Here's the crux of this message. You got to anchor to it. If you miss it, you've missed it all. When you can't see God, when you can't feel God, when you can't hear God, when you can't sense God, go back to what you know to be true. Amen. Go back to what you know to be true. When you can't see God, when you can't feel God, when you can't hear God sense God, hold on for dear life to what you know to be true. The Old Testament had said repeatedly that the Messiah would do all these things that Jesus Christ was doing. And Jesus was saying to him, you can hold on, John, to what you know to be true. And we're not told how John responded to this, but can I tell you what? If he had held on to this and said, okay, I'm going to hold on. You know what John would have went and done? He would have went back to that attitude that said, I must decrease and he must increase. He would have hollered down the hallways of that prison, I know the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Gentiles weren't even saved yet. The sin of the world, he knew that. He would have said, for sure, repent, for the kingdom of heaven was still at hand. Jesus was still on the earth. There'd never been more hope for Israel than right now. All John had to do was hold on in your storm to what you know to be true. Let me tell you something, child of God. If you live long enough and you walk with God, there'll be times in your life that storms will hit your life square in the face, and you will be certain that that roof's about to come off. You will be certain that those walls are going to give way. It'll feel for sure like any minute the waters are going to rise up into those things. But according to the Word of God, if you hold on to what Jesus said, in the morning light, the house will still be intact. Think with me just for a minute of the people who did this very thing. That when the winds blew and howled and beat and the flood waters bashed and the weather was horrible and stretched on their house, they held on to Jesus and what Jesus said. Paul and Silas did it, didn't they? You remember Paul and Silas? Textbook life. I mean, the Bible says that literally just like we found our way in this sermon today, they were listening to the Spirit of God. They wanted to go to Asia and the Spirit forbade them. So they said, no, not going there. They want to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit forbade them. The Lord led them and said, no. Then Paul got a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. God gave Paul a vision and for no other reason than that he heard from God. The Bible says they set sail and started heading towards Macedonia. Young people, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself so desperately in this stage of life. Literally cut the boat loose and just sail to wherever Jesus said to go. Kevin Brook is experiencing that out in Champion Christian College. I experienced that through Calvary Children's Home. Just do what Jesus said. And they set sail unto Macedonia. You know the story. They won that lady Lydia to the Lord. And then there was that little witchy woman. There was that woman who like was one of those ladies who could look in a crystal ball and say, Alabama's going to win the football, right? I mean, she could do that, right? And she had that ability. And when they delivered her of that witchy spirit, the people, her employers said, you've cost us some money because she can't do that anymore. And the Bible says that they beat Paul and Silas with many stripes. Ouch! Think about that, man. Just put yourself in his position. Paul said they beat him with many stripes that had to later be cleaned. These were wounds, right? How embarrassing for a grown man. Just think of it. Think of, would you want that humiliation for any man? And think about your husband. You want your husband to just stood there and just take a beating like a child, but a savage beating, even worse, like a spanking, but a brutal beating, much, much worse. How humiliating would that be? And the Bible says they threw them in the innermost part of the prison. But you know what? We know from Paul and Silas's experience that storm did not shake them. The Bible says that instead of them being shaken by the storm, they held on to what Jesus said, and God shook the storm for them. Did you catch what I just said? The storm didn't shake them. God shook the storm for them. Literally, the earthquake. Do you remember that? When they held on, what did they do? I mean, just picture yourself. They're shackled, they're beaten, they're sitting there, and they begin to sing. I wonder if they had a voice like mine, an untrained voice that could be raspy. And what do you think that they might have began to sing? You know what song came to my heart for you this morning? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. They're just hanging on to what Jesus said. Jesus told us to go to Macedonia. We're in Philippi. That's in Macedonia. We're here to help. Jesus told me I'm going to suffer. You remember God told Paul right out the gate, you're going to suffer. Somebody's going to be worth it. So he's just holding on. And as he holds on, God shook the storm. And do you remember what happened? The Bible says the Philippian jailer got saved. His family got saved. And guess what just happened? God had brought help to Macedonia. God had brought help to Macedonia because he held on. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew fire if we don't bow to this God, but that's not what Jesus said. That's not what God said. We can't bow. They said, we're not careful to answer you this. God is able to save us, but if not, we're not bowing. We're doing things right. They got thrown in. Did the storm crush them? No, the storm elevated them. Literally, they had that fourth man experience, and they were stronger because of the storm. The same thing is true for Paul. The same thing would be true for John the Baptist. There's a scene in David's life where literally his house is burned, his wives are abducted, his kids are abducted, and his own men want to stone him. And literally when everybody else would shake and get the mully grubs, he did what Paul did. He held on to the Lord. You know what he said? Bring me the ephod. You know what he was saying? I got to hear from God. I got to get something from God. And the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. He's holding on to what he knew to be true. And when it was all said and done, David was so much stronger, recovered it all, and shortly thereafter became king through that very experience in the storm. If you have a storm in your life, hold on to what you know to be true. Amen. Truth number two, I got to be so quick. Let me just say it this way. In the storms of your life, Jesus can handle your questions. When you can't see God, you can't feel God, when you can't sense God, John the Baptist asked him an outrageous question, an insulting question, but Jesus could handle it, right? And it's okay for you to God. I wouldn't insult God if I were you, but you could say to God, this doesn't seem fair. God, this hurts too bad. God, I feel like I'm going to break. God, I'm confused. God, I don't understand. But you know what? You go to God and get the help that God needs for you. In Paul's experience later in life, he had that thorn in the flesh, and three times, please take this away, please take this away, please take this away. Jesus didn't answer his question the way that he wanted him to, but he answered it, didn't he? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. This thorn is weakening you, but when you're weak, you're relying wholly upon the Lord. Do you remember what I said this morning to you? I said that intentionally, and I said to the Lord intentionally, Lord, I admit I got nothing. I got no strength. I'm wholly holding on to you. Oh, that's the best place you ever go through life, and it is your genuine prayer. God, I have no strength of my own. I only need yours. That's the best. You will never be stronger in your life. And Paul took his questions to Jesus. When I was 19 years old, I was so confused and didn't know what to do, didn't know which direction to go. And in my parents' neighborhood, I pulled over, didn't even expect God to answer. God, where do you want me to go to church? Clear as day. Go to Calvary Baptist Church. I met that girl, met that ministry. God did so much through you. You want to take your questions to Jesus. He can handle them. Even if he doesn't change the storm, he will change you, and that's what he's after. And by the way, storms have purpose, and when the purpose is fulfilled, the storm goes away. Did you catch that? When the storm is fulfilled, the storm goes. When the purpose is fulfilled, the storm goes away. Lastly, let me just say this to you. Maybe you're in a storm that you caused. Maybe you're in a storm that you can look back and say that you caused. What would the appropriate response be? The appropriate response would be to do what Jesus did. David was in a horrific storm late in his life. Literally, one of his children sought to overthrow him by military force. Can you imagine your child rebelling against you and trying to kill you? But David understood this is a result of my sin. David had stole that man's wife and killed him with the sword of the other army, literally put him out there and let him die. And David knew every man reaps what they sow. David had crossed sacred lines. His son is now crossing sacred lines. David did not regard the life of Uriah. His son is now not regarding his life. David took something that didn't belong to him, and now his son is trying to take something that doesn't belong to him. And there's this scene in the Bible where David is literally fleeing from his son. The Bible says he's weeping. Oh, the storms that we cause when we do something stupid and sinful and it brings pain. Oh, they hurt so bad. But he's weeping and he's walking. And the Bible says somebody started throwing rocks at him. Do you remember that? One of the Israelites started chunking rocks at him. And his men basically said, you want me to cut his head off? And literally David said, no, let him throw him. I deserve this. That's what he said. Maybe God will have mercy on me. This is what I deserved. I did this. He took responsibility. Young people, you know one of the things Charles Stanley spoke that helped my life so much? As long as it's never your fault, you're stuck with the problem. When it's not your fault and you don't take any responsibility, that problem will always persist. But if ever you can say, this is my fault, I did wrong, I take responsibility and repent and ask God for mercy, oh, let me tell you, you can get the help of God. Because as he's walking up that hill, the Bible says he stopped and he prayed and he asked God for mercy. Think about this. He's getting a spanking from God, but he's asking for mercy from God. Every child has learned that when you get a spanking, it's the safest place is just to grab hold of your parents' leg, isn't it? Because they're like, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what David is doing. And did David get mercy from God? I won't tell you the story, but God sent him a friend named Hushai. And he got a whole lot of mercy. God heard him in that spanking. If there is a storm that you caused, do what Jesus said. Number one, take responsibility for it. I have sinned, said David. I have sinned. I did wrong. Number two, repent. Lord, I turn away from that. That was broken. No mercy comes until repentance. God's not going to give you mercy while you're still doing what you did that's causing the pain, right? There is no mercy until there's repentance. And so repent, say, God, I'm sorry. I wish I had not done that. I turn away from that, and I'm sorry, and ask for mercy from God. And you can ask David if that is a good decision. Oh, it is a great decision. David died full of days and riches and honor. Did you hear what I said? The Bible calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. It doesn't call him the adulterer. It calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. Ask for mercy of God. Maybe you're here today and somebody has brought a storm into your life. Can I tell you something? You need to do what Jesus said. You need to do what Jesus said. You don't need to beat them up over what they did. If they've repented of it and turned away from it, you got to do what Jesus said. You got to forgive them or it's going to take you down too, right? You got to forgive them and move forward. Sometimes I think if we badger the people with what they did and how they hurt us, that somehow we're holding them accountable and they won't do it again. But actually, we're just pushing them away because we're not doing what Jesus said. Jesus said, love keeps no record of wrongs done. Jesus said that we are to forgive. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If consequences need to come, let God give them, not ours. We get all out of sorts when we don't do what Jesus said. I hope I shared something that'll help you today. Would you stand to your feet with me? The way to survive a storm is to anchor and hold on to what's true. The way to survive a storm is to look to the Lord and obey him and go back to what you know to be true. Hold on to what you know to be true. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for these truths from your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the storm stopper, God. And Lord, we thank you that you're the storm sender, God, that you put those things in our life for a reason, to strengthen us and to help us, God, and to prove to us that your ways are good and strong. And in those ways, we learn that you really are all we need. Lord, help us not to do things our own way. Help us not to trust our own emotions, our own feelings, how we just wake up feeling one day. Help us rather to turn and to trust what you have said and behave ourselves in that way. Because when we walk with you, you start building. That's your steadfast promise. When we obey you, you're strengthening our lives. Oh God, to that end, help us to obey you. I pray, Jesus, if there's somebody here today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, Father, that you would show them what they need to see. Help them come down. Let us talk to them about that. Would you move in that way? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God's spoken to your heart, if you have needs from the Lord, the Bible says Jesus said you have not because you asked not. You know how I interpret that? Oh, you should have asked. You really should have asked. It's important that you do that. Maybe you're in a storm and you need to be reminded that you got to go back to what's true. A storm's got your eyes off Jesus, maybe. They do that in our lives. Boy, I'm guilty of that at times. But where we're safe is we remember. Remember what the Bible says? He will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Let us be those people. Pastor Justin, thank you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Still time if you need to come this morning. Would you come right now?
Just as I am and waiting to my soul of one dark night to thee whose word can cleanse its
people are coming. Would you come this morning if you need to come? Please respond to the Lord this morning. Maybe you want to come and praise the Lord for something that he has done. Whatever the situation is, there's liberty for you to come this morning. This is the most important part of the service.
He calls.
Nobody's watching. Nobody's pointing. This is the place to come to for help. You've heard the gospel message this morning. What a blessing it was. But we do have some praying. So please, please respond if you feel like you need to come this morning. Don't put it off. There may be someone here that needs to ask the Lord for salvation. If I asked you today, where would you be 100 years from now? What would you say? Salvation is offered. Salvation is here. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue to play softly or sing however they want to do it as these are praying. A couple more minutes if no one else comes, and we'll close the service. Appreciate that. Did you enjoy the message this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
And what about the great singing this morning? Say amen. Amen. So very proud of our young people. My goodness. I pray that continues. I know that it will through our young people, but I pray that it will spread to other young people and in the schools, in the community. What a blessing it is to stand courageously and sing unto the Lord. And Brother Brian, thank you for that timely message, brother, from my heart to yours. I feasted this morning. I did. I feasted on the message. I feasted on the music. And I feel like I've been to church. And so thank you so very much for obeying the Lord on that. So many different truths came out to me during that message that really helped me. Thank you for that again. And I do want to give a prayer request to you before we leave this morning. Brother Trail shared with me earlier, or last night, actually, last night this morning. But anyway, at any rate, Miss Connie goes for outpatient surgery tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And so please remember Miss Connie, Brother Trail's wife, in your prayers for her outpatient surgery tomorrow at Cobb at 2 o'clock. And just wanted to take another second. Appreciate Brother Max for the announcements and sharing the things that he did. Thing about the yard sale, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of those who participated, who could participate. I know Saturday's a busy day, but you showed up, and the Lord showed out. We had a lot of things for sale out there, and really wasn't a lot of people coming through, but they came through in waves. But at the end of the day, we walked away with 1276, I believe it was. But prior to that, there's Miss Dolores. I hadn't been up here this morning yet, so I hadn't seen anybody. So good to have Miss Dolores with us this morning, Brother Leonard. And we had a donation before that for $500, and then we were short $233 to start this painting project on Monday. And I wanted to start this project so bad on this Monday. Spoke with Brother Carl. I mean, he's spinning his paintbrush in his on his finger. He's ready to go. And we had someone donate that $233 before we made it home yesterday. And so painting begins in the morning, prep work for this hallway. And so I'm thrilled over that. I'm excited. And I believe God showed us something, continuing to show us stuff that we can do, get a vision, pull together, everybody pitch in, and meet our goals. And so what I say to that is, on to the next one. Pretty soon we're going to start a little fundraiser for our foyer. And then we're going to work our way in the sanctuary. And at the same time, be on the lookout for outreach opportunities. We really want to take advantage of the skate park that's over here. And so we're going to be reaching out to the skaters, to the walkers, to the riders. They're back and forth all day long behind our church, and so we're going to be reaching out to them soon. And so just thank you for all of that and coming on yesterday. All right.
Brother Justin, I have a prayer request. It involves our family. God knows all that.
Yes. Let's remember the Henderson family this morning. Also good to see Aaron and Taylor this morning and their little man. Good to see him. I said hello to him in the nursery or Sunday school early this morning. But please remember this request and all other requests. I know there's many other burdens behind the surface, as Miss Melita mentioned this morning. All right, all hearts clear before we go? All right, well, everyone remember this evening's service at 5 o'clock. Brother CJ will be bringing the word. Our youth will be back singing for us. We're excited about that. And no choir practice today. And so, all right. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, God. This morning, that if we obey your word, put you first, Lord, we know that there is that unseen hand protecting us, guiding us. And Father, just thank you for the message. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you, Lord, for our young people who, again, courageously stand with joy. How evident it is that they're a joyful young people, and we're thankful for that. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us. Keep us safe. Let us all have a great afternoon. Bring us back safely to worship you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your liberty to go.